Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips. And today we're going to be looking at one of the leaders in the food and beverage line, the president and CEO, Peter Seely of Trader Vic's. Peter, welcome to Eye on Careers.
Good afternoon, Shane.
It's a real pleasure to have you here. And whenever I see, you know, you're debatably, you know, one of the top food and beverage CEOs in the world. But I always wonder, you know, what was this guy like when he was a kid? Were you organizing people around the sandbox back in grade school? Was it a leadership something that naturally developed in you?
Well, I think my mother always told me that I was bossy and made decisions for other people. But I think in high school is when I started becoming more formalized in leading and having people follow what I would set an example to do.
So were you active in committees or sports?
I was active in high school, which is our secondary school in the United States, and did many different clubs. I tried to involve in as many different activities, yearbook, choral, some sports, the math club. It was something that I tried to join in high school and in university as well, because it gave me a good basis for how to deal with other people. And the food and beverage business is purely how to motivate someone to do the job that you want them to do and to do it efficiently. So that started, those skills had to be started very early in me.
Anyone who has maybe kids who are in high school or going to university, that, you know, you should take advantage of these extracurricular opportunities. They are opportunities to develop a leadership competency.
I absolutely agree with that. I think that for me, it was food and beverage. My grandfather started Trader Vic's 80 years ago this year. And so I was sort of on the path to always be in the food and beverage business. But for as many activities that you can involve in primary and secondary school, it will round you out and help you decide which path that you want to take, whether it's the path that I took, food and beverage, or journalism, or strictly business. The more activities you can do in school really prepare you to make the decisions that you have to make once you graduate from university.
But early on, your vision in high school, was it to be a politician?
Yes, I wanted very much to go into the diplomatic service. I finished high school and made application to Georgetown University, which has a very good foreign service school. You have to get a degree in history and then go from there. But and then I did schools that specialized in food and beverage business, hotel schools in the United States. And I went off to England to be with my friends for the summer. And I came home and my father said, "Oh, well, you got accepted to the University of Denver." And he sort of chose my path. He didn't tell me that I had been accepted to Georgetown as well. So I sort of was pushed in the food and beverage direction.
And so do you think that, you know, vision plays a role into, you know, a career path? Or I think when you look at kind of one of the tenets of your success is the fact that there's been a focus in one area, not just for your career path, but multi-generational focus.
You know, I think that if you set a goal for yourself, which I did very early on, and you meet those goals and set another goal, I think that you have to set goals that you can meet. Because if you set a goal too high and it's too hard to attain, you could get a bit discouraged. So when I graduated from college, I went to work in the food and beverage business for other companies, not my family. And I wanted to be a manager, and then I wanted to be an area manager. And finally, after about 14 years of working for other people, I went to work at my family's business, which is Trader Vic's.
So your first job was not with Trader Vic's?
No, it was with, actually, my first job was with the Fairmont Hotel originally in San Francisco when it was just four hotels in the United States. And I was assistant manager of a restaurant there. And then I became manager of a restaurant. And then I went on after that to manage a small hotel in the wine country and finally came back and managed another very well-known restaurant in San Francisco and then finally went to work for my family.
Wow. So how did it all start? I mean, how was the first Trader Vic's actually started?
Well, my grandfather was handicapped. He had one artificial leg at a very early age, and everyone sort of treated him like he couldn't do something, or don't worry, Vic, you know, you don't have to worry. Well, that set him off. When someone told him he couldn't do something because he was handicapped, right away he set out that he was going to do it. So he worked for his brother, who was in the automobile care business, gas station. And then he worked for an uncle who had a bar, and he worked for the uncle for quite a long time and then said, you know, I can do better than this. And so my grandmother had saved up $700, which isn't very much money back in 1934. And her brothers built the first restaurant, and he opened it up. And it was called Hinky Dinks. And he did the bar, and my grandmother did the food. And after that, it was nobody could tell him he couldn't do anything.
That is amazing. I mean, so many times it seems like your curses in life are your blessings. And, you know, failure is often the stepping stone to success.
I think that obviously I've had some pretty embarrassing or dark times. And I think that it molds you. You need to learn and see through these times to make you more strong and more resolute to the career path that you have decided to take. And whether it's the restaurant business for me or whatever other business, is that, you know, you can always learn from your mistakes. And, you know, my mother always said that failures build character. And I always told her that I didn't necessarily need that much character, but it's true. I think the longer you do something and you always learn something new, you're going to be very successful in what you do.
What has been the, you know, one of the biggest setbacks you've ever had to face, or those moments where you've fallen down, scraped your knee, and gotten back up? I mean, what's been your darkest moment, and how did you pull through it?
Well, I guess my grandfather pretty much dressed me down one day. I had graduated from university, and he told me that he wasn't going to hire me. And I said, well, I'm not really here to ask for a job. I'm just here to say hello to you. And he took it the wrong way, and maybe I said some things. And it was a very difficult time because he was a very strong individual. And so he said that, well, then you'll never come to work for Trader Vic's. So I said, okay, fine. And I went out and started to show him that I could succeed in the restaurant business. I could excel in it. And I did so in San Francisco, and to the point where then, you know, he asked me to come after bygones.
How long was that?
It was about 15 years.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
15 years.
Well, my grandfather was a unique individual.
So that is some very serious tenacity, persistence, and focus that you had, despite of this almost slap in the face that you're not initially invited into the family business.
And that is true. But I also think that family businesses pose a very big problem or risk for members that go into the family business, meaning that you have aunts and uncles and cousins all with different agendas, with different expectations from the company, and you have to live up to those or manage them and manage those expectations with your family. It is not easy to be in a family business. It is very, very tough to run a successful business and to have a family that is happy is a very, very hard thing in today's world.
This is a story of Peter Seely, the global president and CEO of Trader Vic's, one of the leading food and beverage lines in the world today, telling us his secrets learned, lessons learned on the road to the top. We'll be right back.
Dubai Eye 103.8. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we are here with a man who is in a family business that's been around for 80 years, is one of the leading global food and beverage businesses on the planet. But his grandfather initially didn't let him in the business. And for 15 years, he persevered and made a name for himself in other brands. Till today, he's the global president and chief executive officer of Trader Vic's, Peter Seely. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
It's been quite interesting, some of your points so far, but we'd love to know, what are some of your driving business philosophies or North Stars as you sit at the helm of this ship?
Well, I think number one is integrity in everything that I do or the people that work with me do. It's a very, very important thing. Quality for any person to have is to have the highest integrity you can. Honesty is obviously, I don't talk about you're going to be a thief, but honesty in business dealings, being very transparent in what you're doing. So the people that you're conducting business with know exactly what I'm going to deliver, what they're going to deliver, being very honest and very open about a relationship. And then I think when it comes to you going into a Trader Vic's, I want you to feel that when you leave that you've had value perceived, that you thought you got a great value for what you had and what you did in my restaurant.
And I think you made a good point there when you mentioned integrity and honesty. And I find often executives mix these up and sometimes even see them as the same thing. Can you just differentiate on those points? You know, what's the difference between integrity and what's the difference, you know, and honesty?
Well, I think integrity to me is being very honest to yourself, to not try to have your own agenda when it comes to business. You want to have a global agenda for your particular business, not a personal agenda. Integrity means that you treat everyone as though they're your brother and that you show respect to everyone. Honesty is probably very close, but to me it's in business dealings, I want to make sure that I'm and that Trader Vic's is extremely transparent to the person that we're dealing with. I had a meeting this morning with one of our hotel partners. And so Trader Vic operates like most probably restaurants in the Middle East, where we have an owner and then who owns the property. And then there's the management company that manages the property, the hotel, and then there's us. And I'm usually in between the owner and the hotel operator. And today I had a meeting with the hotel operator about expanding our outlet in his hotel. And I wanted him to be completely informed on everything that we're doing so he doesn't have a surprise down the line. I think it's very, very important. And I asked him that I wanted to know and him to be very transparent with me. And it just brings out the best in people when you operate that way.
Having so many locations all over the world, I think you have an interesting view on, you know, how do those price points shift from restaurant to restaurant? You know, is a food item the same price from one restaurant to another, or is there a difference depending on where you're sitting?
Well, I think that every city in the world has different economies. I think probably, in my estimation right now, London probably is the most expensive from my point of view. I love it, but it's even I'm starting to raise eyebrows there. We have Cosmo Tidbits, which is different Trader Vic poo-poos all on a chafing dish. And it's sort of a signature appetizer that we finger food that we've had for 80 years. And when I look at the price in Tokyo, in San Francisco, in London, and Dubai, there is huge difference in every it's the same food. It pretty much costs the same everywhere. It's just affected by the economies of the city. So, and I'd say London's number one, then comes Tokyo.
That's great. That's interesting. We have the Trader Vic's purchase parity now that we can use. So the price in London, cost of living in London's going up, and Dubai we can still enjoy a good standard of living.
Well, Dubai is a wonderful city. I'm very privileged to be able to come here several times a year, and meet a diverse group of people. It's one city destination where I don't mind. I'd love to come. I shouldn't say I don't mind. I really love coming here.
And what about, you know, basically you've mentioned that, you know, one of the big pieces for you is the value and the value perception and the genuine actual that you ensure that there is a certain intrinsic value in your product. Otherwise, you couldn't be around for 80 years. What are the other kind of strategies that you look at, or is strategy overrated? I know academia always puts strategy on a pedestal, but I find that individuals generally who are very successful, I'm sure your grandfather was tactically amazing, you know, to continually roll these restaurants out. What's more important, strategy or tactics, and how do these two items mix in the boardroom?
Well, I think strategy, I think that when I assumed the position of president, I reevaluated our strategy as far as growth and who we became partners with in different parts of the world. And so I completely changed our strategy to where now we only deal with 5-star hotels, or I'd like to say 5-star operating companies. Like, we have an operating food company here, Ramal Hospitality, and they're 5-star. We only deal now with very competent food and beverage operators. And if it's a hotel, it's only 5-star.
But that comes over time, I guess. You've earned that privilege, I guess.
We have. I mean, 20 years ago when we came, I wasn't doing anything in Trader Vic's, but 20 years ago, the first Trader Vic's went into Abu Dhabi and to the Beach Rotana, and the second went into the Holiday Inn on Sheikh Zayed Road, which is now the Crown Plaza. I mean, we've come in.
Still there, I think.
Oh, they're still there.
Still
they're
there.
Very, very popular. And the Sheikh Zayed Road is one of my favorite places. But I have to say that over the years, we've developed and grown. And as our brand became more established in the region, we now have 7 restaurants now in the UAE. And we have
Medina Jumeirah, I think, is the most popular one, isn't it?
Madinat is the most popular one.
Yeah.
And then the restaurant in Bahrain is very, very popular. Oman is very popular, and Doha, Qatar, that is, we're lucky. They're all extremely popular, and it seems that we enjoy a really good following from not only expatriates, but locals in the UAE market.
How does debt, in terms of the toolkit of the entrepreneur, or the toolkit of the CEO or businessman, fit into the picture? Some people saying if you're not leveraged, you're not trying hard enough to grow. A lot of other businessmen, especially individuals like yourself who've been around for generations, see debt as the devil incarnate. How do you view it?
Well, I'm one of those that see it as the devil incarnate. We don't have any debt. I don't want any debt. I will fight not to assume any debt, but we've been in business 80 years and we're able to self-finance. All of our restaurants, in the Middle East are all franchises or contracts with individual owners. And I think the biggest advice I could give to any entrepreneurial person thinking to go into business is your debt to equity ratio. You've got to get your business manager. You have to have a business plan so you're not burdened with debt and you cannot operate a business the way that you want to operate it. If you get too much debt, then you have to operate it the way the banks want it or whoever holds the debt.
So there you have it. Get away from those debts. Stay away from leverage. Stay away from those credit lines and just live within your means, whether that's on a personal level or on a business level. These are the lessons learned from Peter Seely, global president and CEO of Trader Vic's, one of the leading global food and beverage lines in the world today. We're going to hear more on his secrets to success in just a minute.
Dubai I 103.8, keeping you up to date with what matters in the UAE. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome back to Eye on Careers. I'm here with Peter Seely, the global president and CEO of Trader Vic's, one of the leading food and beverage lines in the world, a business that was started over 80 years ago by his grandfather. Interestingly, his grandfather didn't actually let him join the business, but Peter didn't give up. 15 years of working on his own, he was finally invited back, and today he's made it a huge success. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Thank you, Shane.
I just think it's such an interesting thing to mention that to those just joining us that, you know, even your grandfather himself, he started with a bit of a challenge. He was handicapped. He couldn't walk properly. He had an artificial leg. And that was kind of that first challenge was the seed of his success. And same with your story, the first challenge of being, you know, not being allowed in the family business was the seed of your success as well. Enough about that. What would you see? I mean, you run a global business today. What are some of the key business philosophies that you keep as your North Star as you sit at the helm of this ship?
I think integrity is something that is incredibly important in today's world. It's something that we don't always come across all the time, but I try, and my staff, the people that work with me, that is the most inherent quality, or what I ask of them is just to be honest and have great integrity. For the success of Trader Vic's, I think, is the fact that we try to deliver an experience, quality food, quality beverage, at a price that is, I don't want to call price performer, but let's say it's worth the price of admission. In other words, you sit down and you have dinner and you get the check and you do not feel you were taken advantage of. You think that you got value perceived. People look at a menu and they see the prices on the menu, and whether they're high or not, it doesn't matter. It's when the host gets the check and he decides that for 930 dirhams, yesterday I went to lunch at somewhere in JBR, level 7 maybe. It was a great experience. I had a wonderful time. And there were 10 people there, and the check came and it was 3,500.
There you go. That's a bit. Yeah, that sounds a bit more like Dubai. So,
but I thought I received value for the $1,000 that it cost for me to take 10 people out for lunch in Dubai. I really felt that it delivered what I wanted. So I think that for me, delivering a great experience and great food and beverage, and for the customer to come away saying, gee, that's a place I really would like to go back to, that is utmost in what I try to achieve for all of our restaurants around the world. Now, all the restaurants have different prices, obviously. Tokyo is different than London.
Those cities are all different. So
it's all different. Don't get me wrong. It's all cost of living. And everyone, though, feels in Tokyo and London, they feel price is received, value received. So I meant to go on just value received and not concentrate on the dollars. But it's value received. And we try to make it so when you leave the restaurant experience, it's what it is.
And what about, you know, your growth strategy? Because I know that you probably could have grown at a faster rate than you are now. How do you view growth strategy? How do you view gearing, debt, equity, leverage? How do these things play into it?
Well, we're a franchise company. We own restaurants in the United States, but outside of the United States, we're all franchises. We're very lucky enough. My family, the corporation, has no debt. And we don't ever, we're not looking for any debt. So we self-finance everything that we do. Outside of the United States, worldwide, everything is franchised. We grow very organically, whether it be through referrals, through hotel companies, or someone comes into the Sheikh Zayed Road Trader Vic's, or the Trader Vic's in Bahrain or in Abu Dhabi. They want to have a Trader Vic's in their particular country. We vet them, decide if we want to go forward. And so we grow very slowly and very organically. We don't go out looking for sites. And I think that's another secret to our success, because every one of our owners wants us there, and they want to have a great Trader Vic's. And that's what is also very successful for us, is to have the ownership and us working for the same goals.
Do you think that's one of the areas where some business people may fall down, is trying to grow too much, too fast? They over-leverage. They get themselves into a bit of hot water.
Well, I do not like borrowing money. So I think, yes, I think that in your personal life or in your business life, you've got to be very careful about incurring debt. I think a lot of times now, you know, it's very easy for me to say that we don't have any debt, but we've been in business 80 years, so we're okay. But if you're just starting out, you're going to need to have some debt. But I would really suggest that you get with financial advisors and accountants to make sure that you have a business plan that can manage the debt that you're going to use to start your business.
So I think that's really, I find that after interviewing, you know, hundreds, if not over 1,000 CEOs and business owners who are highly successful, is that a debt aversion.
Yeah, I don't want debt. So we're building in the United States Mai Tai lounges, and they're small. They're 500 square meters, and we're going into different countries. Well, different states and secondary cities. When we do the business plan for each outlet, I always make sure that we have 6 months capital so we don't have to incur any debt. I think it's very important to go in with very realistic business plans, realistic expectations from the market that you're going into, and make sure that you have a very nice safety net.
Well, I think that's very strong advice, whether you're looking at a business or on a personal front. What about strategy, tactics? I always feel, and this was my opinion, that academia puts an overemphasis or puts a strategy up on a pedestal. And when you look at, you know, the real guys who are out there doing the business, they're tactically excellent. Where do you see these two? How do they balance out?
Well, for large corporations like Red Lobster or thousands of outlets, you have to be technically correct. For someone like me, I think that I need to adjust to the market and adjust my business plan to the market that I'm going into. I have the luxury of being a little bit more entrepreneurial rather than strict business model. Don't get me wrong. We still have the percentages and the accountants telling me what to do. But I think someone that's successful in a small business arena like I am, I think it's adapting and not being so close-minded to changing or tweaking just a little bit to make the experience in the different locations around the world work, and adapting to what ownership's needs are, what my needs are, without sacrificing the brand.
Well, this is the story of Peter Seely, the global president and CEO of Trader Vic's. We're going to hear more about his business philosophies and lessons learned on the road to the top in just a minute.
Dubai Eye 103.8, award-winning news, business, sport, and lifestyle coverage. Stay one step ahead.
Hello and welcome to Eye on Careers. I'm your host, Shane Phillips, and we're listening to the story of Peter Seely, the global president and CEO of Trader Vic's. Peter, welcome back to Eye on Careers.
Shane, thanks for having me today.
For those of you just joining us, Peter initially was not allowed in the family business. His grandfather had started it 80 years ago and refused to give him a job. Peter went and worked not for just 1 year, 2 years, not 5 years, not 10 years. He worked for 15 years in other people's restaurants, earning his stripes, and then came back to the business where he's now leading a global expansion effort. And Peter, I don't know if that's quite inspiring. In fact, that failure is the seed of success.
I think it focused me to keep my eye on the ball and make vertical moves every time I went to look for a new job. I think that everyone wants to strive to do better and set higher goals. Those goals have to be achievable in the short run with a long-term goal, the long-haul goal that you can achieve and know that you're on the right path.
How do you, I think one of the magic things that great CEOs do is they get a team to take ownership of a vision, take ownership of a strategy. You know, they get that ethos of this is a hill I'm either going to die on or conquer. How do you transfer that into your people?
Well, I think that personally, I want my staff to be very involved and be very invested in Trader Vic's. And so when I'm back in San Francisco every week, and that half of the staff meeting, several hours of it is, what can we do that's new? What can we do that's within the brand and that is going to excite our franchisees around the world and our customers around the world? Our customers are number one to us, and so we're always trying to do something new and different, whether it be in food or in social marketing or whatever it has to do with our brand. So people, staff members throw out ideas, and I let them incubate their idea as long as it's within the brand of Trader Vic's, and we can turn it into something that's a Trader Vic's sort of concept. And with their investment, I get great results.
Is there an incentive program there that, you know, hypothetically, if I came up with the new best-selling appetizer globally, do I get a percentage of the net profit, or is that a bit too much of a lofty goal there?
It's a family business, Shane. I think that might be a little lofty for me. I think that incentive basis, though, is very, very important. So our managers, a lot of our managers, and certainly all our managers in the United States, are all paid on an incentive basis on performance that is strictly laid out. So it's not interpretive. I can't interpret it the way I want to. If they achieve the goals, they get a certain a bonus once a quarter. And I think that's a very good way to incentivize our managers of each of our locations in the United States. But corporate staff, that's part of their job. They need to come up with this to stay a part of the corporate team.
To stay part of the team. And I think that's interesting. You know, on one hand, we're talking about incentives. And the other hand is, you know, creating that environment that drives peak performance. And in the East, one of the differences is we're very reluctant to let people go or to trim the fat, as we say. And on the flip side, you know, I played varsity football, and the team would, the coach would cut people on the spot, you know, and that was part of creating that peak performance environment, that if you have to cut the dead wood, it's not fair to the top performer. What's your take on letting people go or trimming the fat?
Well, on a corporate level, if I have to let someone go, I sort of look at that I failed to either hire the right person or to inspire them to do the job that they were hired for. I look at that a personal failure. I look at it something that is very hard to do. It's very hard for me to fire someone or let someone go because I'm in not only releasing them into the job market, but I could be taking the education and food off their plates for their family. So I take it very, very seriously when I have to let someone go. As far as on the management level, I think that we work with our partners to make sure that we have the right managers, but I also have to make the decision that's best for the restaurant and the brand and the operator and the owner. So I don't have so much choice in each outlet. Sometimes we have to dismiss people, and it's very unfortunate. But for the most part, the managers that are now in the region, in the GCC, have been with Trader Vic's on and off for many, many years. I could just go through all the restaurants, and we're looking at, 10 and 15 years experience with Trader Vic's. It's something that we look for and I try to develop because it's overall good for the brand. It's overall good management for the operating company, and the owner sees good results. So we really invest heavily in our local management.
One of the things I always say is a job is like a boat, and they say with a boat, the best time is when, the two favorite moments are when you first get it
and when you sell
and
it.
When you get rid of it. And so everybody I know who, it doesn't matter whether they were fired or they quit, that there's a huge weight lifted off someone who's not in a role that's not a fit for them, where they're not driving peak performance. And so in a way, aren't you, doing them a favor?
Yes. And I think that just recently, we had to let go the chef in our San Francisco restaurant. The corporate chef was reluctant to let him go. I knew that he had to go. And so the HR person and the chef, corporate chef, let him go. And the first thing that the HR person said to me was, you could see that he was relieved by what just happened, because he knew he was in over his head. So I think that if you're a good manager, when if you hire someone and it doesn't feel right, chances are you're probably going to have to let that person go, and it will present itself rather quickly to you. So it's really important to do the vetting and to the interviews and to really make sure that you're hiring the right person, because I don't think anybody wants to let anybody go.
What is your advice to anybody who wants to reach the pinnacle of their career or the pinnacle of their profession?
Keep your eye on the ball. Be true to yourself. Treat everyone like you want to be treated. And give value in what you do to the people that you deal with, whether it be clients, customers, owners, operating companies. Just be extremely honest in all your business dealings with them.
When you keep tapping away on this value piece, and I think, is that one of the things that separates people, is that you're not actually focused on building capabilities or competencies, but they're actually just looking at getting a title or that next job, where the successful executives focus on creating value and developing a competency set that's going to accelerate that value creation equation.
And I think that's true. And I think it's who you develop around you and how you're able to manipulate and use the quality people that you surround yourself with. I learned at a very early age. My grandfather consulted for United Airlines and built all of the menu design for United in the 60s and 70s. And the head of United Food Service was a man named Richard Ferris, and he came and he had 10 people around him, and he wasn't necessarily from the food and beverage industry, but everyone around him was, and he looked and he drew upon and asked everyone, and then he put it in his brain and it churned and he came out with a great decision. And I think that's what good CEOs do. They surround themselves with good people and they will help them succeed as well.
Well, Peter, I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know that this is an exclusive interview, that most of the time you are a bit of a unicorn when it comes to media. You're a bit media shy, and I do want to thank you for trusting Dubai Eye 103.8 with your reputation and your brand. So thank you so much for that.
Shane, it was a pleasure to be here today, and thank you for the opportunity.
Great. That's the story of Peter Seely, the president and CEO of Trader Vic's. You can visit any of his esteemed establishments around. I think there was 19 establishments in the UAE. Is that right? 19 establishments, so plenty to choose from.